Welcome to Virtual Economy, a podcast about the business of games for the rest of us. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda Farrow.
And I am Michael Footer.
I like how that was kind of a question.
Well, you know what? These days, I'm not entirely sure. I'm still not sure what day it is.
It's just been one big long day. Let's just leave it at that.
Just like 2020 has been one long decade.
I don't want to talk about that. All right. Each episode, we'll cover the biggest business beats and bring in expert commentary from lawyers, analysts, and industry pros. We happen to have one of those industry pros with us today.
We do. We do. I love this, that every day, every time we do this, we're surprised. It's my... Like, oh my gosh, we actually have one of those industry pros with us.
It's because I'm constantly shocked that people want to talk to us.
Well, our guest today is a lovely person. It is Victoria Tran, who is the communications director at Kitfox Games. Hi, Victoria. Hi. You're so wonderful. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, after our panel at PAX, Amanda and I, for those of you in the listening crowd who don't know about this, I think we've done this 5 times now.
And we've had 5 of these panels. They get funnier every time we do them.
They do. We had such, this panel was...
It was the best one.
No offense to anybody who has sat on a previous panel. This one, we packed the house at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Shockingly.
We were up against Ace Watkins, Gamer for President. And we're like, no one.
And I think Acquisitions Incorporated.
Oh, and Acquisitions Inc. too. We're like, no one is coming to our panel. We walked in, we're like, oh my gosh, there's like a line. That can't be for us.
That's not for us. That's a mistake. They don't know who we are.
So the panel is called Video Game Marketing Done Right and So Very Wrong. We've done it 5 times. There's a story behind the panel. It kind of emerged out of E3 20... What year was that now? Was that 2018? 2018.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So when Walmart Canada kind of leaked the list of games that was coming and then tried to play it off like, oh, we're just guessing. Shout out to Canada.
Yeah, that feels good. Feels good.
And then, you know, Pete Hines and his team over at Bethesda took the opportunity because Rage 2 was one of the games. And everybody's like, come on, Rage 2. No, they're not making a sequel to Rage. And then they're like,
Okay, but what if we were?
What if we actually were and this is all accurate? Which meant that every other developer and publisher on the list is like, you sons of guns. You jerks.
We're coming for
you. Like, how did you just validated the entire list. There was only one game on that list that I think wasn't actually real, and it was Splinter Cell, and I think it was because that was when Sam Fisher popped up in Ghost Recon Wildlands, so it was like an understandable mistake if you're going to leak the entire list of games that are being announced in E3. So you know, that came out of it, like they took control of the narrative, and then they did like the very cool stream with Fallout 76, and we're like, what if we just did a panel about like really cool marketing moments? And the panel is kind of spun into
its own beast.
Victoria's contributions, your contributions for this panel were amazing.
Pet the dog.
Yeah, like, can you pet the dog was yes. Just great. That was so good.
Thank you. I love it. I mean, I didn't make it, so shout out to whoever does Can You Pet the Dog for being a joy in my life.
It's so good. Others. And the fact that it has actually influenced development, where it people has. Are like, we're going to patch the game so you can pet the dog.
Yeah, don't
so
worry about it, guys.
A little pop on Twitter. So one of the other cool things that popped out during that panel.
We are so bringing this up.
Yeah. I'm going to let you, Amanda, go ahead and talk about our brilliant idea.
Talk about our brilliant idea that Victoria should be the CM decider. Yep. Yes. So one of the things that popped up during the course of our panel was like, that's not community management. Or that is community management. That's what that is.
Oh, it was the Stadia thing.
God, that was rough. I needed a nap after that. That was a lot. So we said to Victoria, we're like, look, but what if you were like art decider, but for community management? And so that's how CM Decider was born in our minds, but has not been born into the real world yet because Victoria is very busy.
So every time we talk to her, we bring it up because...
I know, it's okay.
I know it's going to happen. I mean,
you've got nothing else going on in these crazy times.
Right? Yeah, clearly not.
It's true. I mean, I have Animal Crossing, and then I have CM Decider. That's it. That's all I need in my life.
I mean, it's not like you have a job.
Yeah. No. It's not an important job. Definitely not. Speaking of your job, though, we want to know, like, tell us about what it is that you do, because your role as a communications director and what it entails, like, folks don't actually understand what that means. They're like, but what's that? That's just a, that's, those are words. What do these words mean? What do you do?
She's very good
that
at
that. That was a good segue.
At segues?
Yes.
Yes, because I... Oh, yeah. It's because I spent 5 years with you, so and I smooth. Often have to do that. Okay, and back to our original point.
Oh my gosh. She steers my walker as I dot her down the street.
Yes, 100%. I'm also the person that put the tennis balls underneath there for you. So
oh,
it's,
thanks.
So it's less impactful for your knees.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I got you,
amazing.
Boo.
Amazing. That's so nice.
Never.
We're never going to get to the never. Questions. I can already tell. I can already tell. Never. Who cares about the questions? Wait, so I just start now?
Yeah. Yes. So actually answer the question now that we're done interrupting you so egregiously.
Okay. Yeah. So what a community manager does, there's a lot of confusion within like the community management sphere itself, just because depending on whether you're indie or AAA, your job is going to vary a lot and what you need to do. So, for example, because I'm indie and Kitfox is a studio of like 9 people, I end up having to do basically all the outward-facing communications. So the way I describe it is, if you're ever trying to talk to Kitfox, you're probably talking to me first. So that's marketing, that's PR, that's email marketing, that's newsletters, Steam forms, community management, social media marketing, randomly a little bit of internal bookkeeping because someone needs to do that, events planning, staffing, like all of those things falls under my jurisdiction, right? But for other community managers, let's say in like AAA, they might have very specific set roles and what they need to do, like depending on like customer service or working in the Discord or, you know, that kind of thing. So there is a lot of confusion because it's a job that covers a lot of area. But that's what I do. Could be different for a few different people. And also obviously because Kitfox is also a publisher as well as a developer, I end up doing a lot of marketing strategy and talking with other developers about their marketing and social media and how to make their game marketable and all that stuff.
Okay, so Victoria's not going to be able to start CM Decider. She is the busiest person I've ever met. Like, and I thought I was the busiest person I'd ever met.
What's impressive though is that you've developed cloning in order to get all of this work done.
Teach us your ways.
In my spare time, I've invented cloning. No big deal.
That's got to be the only way you get all of that work done. Oh my goodness. I thought I was busy, but that's a lot.
You have a lot.
You're a hero.
And how many games is Kitfox working on right now? Because I know that there are a couple that are announced, but there might be some projects that haven't quite been announced yet as well.
No, we're currently working on 4, and all 4 have been announced, so... No secrets yet.
No secrets here. No secrets between friends.
But you're working on 4 games right now. So
yes, publishing 2 and developing 2.
Good lord. And one of them is Boyfriend Dungeon!
We'll get there.
Yes, we'll talk about Boyfriend Dungeon later.
Okay, so
specifically, obviously you wear a lot of hats at Kitfox. When we talk about community managers, what are the tasks that community managers are typically responsible for? And more importantly, because I think there is this fallacy both inside and outside the industry that this is an easy job, that anybody who has a Twitter account can be a community manager. What are the skills that are important to do the job effectively?
Right. So I guess to answer the first part of your question, which is kind of what a community manager specifically does, is I think there's a lot of different ways people think about it, but the way I think about it is that they're responsible for getting people into the community and getting excited and, you know, becoming fans, but also when they're there, you know how to keep them there, you know how to keep them excited, and you basically are the person that convinces them that being a long-time fan of this studio is going to be worth your time because we'll have great products coming out, et cetera, et cetera. But also, obviously, taking in all the feedback and being this weird, like, middle space between developers and fans. Because you need to be a fan of the game yourself, And you also need to take care of your devs and make sure, you know, they're getting the feedback they need, but also they're not being like attacked by a bunch of angry gamers because there's like a bug or something, right?
Sure.
So it's a weird middle ground that I think community managers have to straddle. So with that being said, the skills they need, I mean, obviously, like, the technical skills are important. Like, you know, you need, preferably you would have like some sort of social media marketing background. You would have a little bit of marketing background, maybe PR if that's like something that your studio needs you to do. But out of all the things that a community manager needs, and I hate it because people think it isn't worth it, it's the soft skills. It's the ability to empathize, to talk to people, and not just like in a, I think a lot of people mistake communication with actual connection, and that's not the same thing. You need to be able to actually connect with people and understand them and have them understand you as a person in order to basically have that relationship. You need to know boundaries. You need to know how to set them. You need to know crisis management because there's always going to be some sort of fire that comes up. So it's a lot of soft skills pooled into one person because you need to deal with so many different people with so few social cues that you would normally get in a face-to-face interaction.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. So honestly, like, so much I think of community management is you need to find a community manager that's like a culture fit for your studio, but also just has amazing soft skills, which is something that's very hard to teach. Technical skills, easy to teach. Soft skills, the hardest thing in the world.
Definitely. That's one of those things where you, it's trial by fire, essentially.
Mm-hmm. On a and daily honing basis. Them.
Yeah, on a daily basis, which I think is a, again, doing that really wonderful segue that we just talked about. I'm making like really fun hand motions right now. Speaking of fires and things that set the world on fire, how is the current situation impacting the way that you and fellow community managers are able to do your work, both within your communities and within your companies?
Yeah. Yeah, what a time.
That's been a recurring time. Sentiment on the show this
week. Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously current situation, like, huge impact on everyone's work for sure. With community managers in particular, it's this thing where we're all obviously nervous, anxious. We had no idea what's doing. Like, you know, events were being canceled. We have to figure out new ways to promote our games more online. And also, there's this weird thing where your community is nervous, your developers are nervous, and you're that one person that needs to tell them everything's okay. Or, like, not like everything is okay right now, but that if they do this, like, it's gonna be okay. Like, you can chill out in our Discord and be calm. And you have to be this, like, not like, you don't have to be, I guess, this perfect person, but you have to be this weirdly emotionally stable person, even if internally right now you're not that. You still need to log on to like social media and like check out everything that's happening and see all the news about all the updates, like, constantly. So I think the biggest thing, like, other than just impacting work via events and people maybe staying inside more, is honestly just the emotional toll that it's taking on a lot of community managers.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I think that because of all of the emotional labor that community managers have to do on a regular basis, I can imagine that it is amped up to 11 right now, with everyone being so nervous or straight up afraid of what the future holds. Having those little spaces where it's like, no, you can actually still come and hang out with us, come hang out in our community and still feel like you belong. Like, I can't imagine the amount of emotional labor that takes now, on top of already taking care of your own mental health and trying to be a good friend or trying to be a good employee and team member, and, you know, and then going home and trying to be a person.
Or staying home.
Or staying home. And
be, or staying home, yes.
Well, I think that the delineation there is still important, because even at the end of the end of a work day, even though, you know, you and I know this, we've been working from home for a really long time, it's still a delineation. At the end of the day, we leave our office and we go home, quote unquote, to make dinner.
Absolutely.
For the children.
Yes. Or to pull them off one another because we live in strange times.
Because no, because we have four kids.
You know, one of the things that I've always found interesting about community managers, and, well, not always, but I feel like this is a recent thing in the last 3 to 5 years, maybe, especially as Twitter's become a key communication platform and a key marketing platform, is that good community managers humanize companies. Mm-hmm. And like we've seen this with Arby's, and we talked about that during our panel. We see this with certain game studios, though not all of them. And, you know, how do you walk that line in general and especially now between being a human face of a company and drawing fire from the internet and getting a bazillion silence brand memes thrown in your face?
Yike.
Yeah, that's a difficult question. One of the things is that it's a little bit easier for like someone like me, let's say, because Kit Fox is an indie studio. And, you know, one of the draws of indie is that they're generally small teams. You do get to actually know them. It feels less like a brand because we don't have millions and millions of dollars sitting in our banks, mm-hmm. right? We're just trying to survive versus like, I don't know, something like Arby's where people know it's like this corporation.
And they have the meat.
Yeah, and they have the meat and all that.
I cannot with you. I'm taking away his microphone. I'm so sorry.
Sadly, we only have one microphone and we're sharing it, so it's all you, Victoria, for the rest of the show. Just do the bumper at the end, you'll be fine.
It'll be great. Everyone. I'm both Mike and Manda now.
I'll allow it.
I forgot the rest of the question.
What are the things, and I think this kind of segues into our next question, what are the things right now that community managers might want to avoid? Because I think there's a temptation to, and we've seen this, right? We see this every year on 9/11. We see this every year when there's a solemn thing that happens, mm-hmm. whether it's an annual event or a sudden one, where you have brands looking to capitalize.
Mm. Or they're looking to communicate to their fan base, their consumer base, in a way that addresses the current situation, but they don't always handle it A, tactfully, B, sensitively, or C, intelligently.
Yeah, I mean, again, so this is what I mean by you need a community manager that has the soft skills, because I can't, it's very hard for me to even, like, I can say it, but even teaching someone to like actually understand it when a new crisis comes up is very different, right? But say for like something like this, a pandemic is currently happening, or it's just like some sort of scary situation that's out of your hands that's happening in the outside world. I think of my role, or a community manager's role, I guess, as kind of twofold. Speaking from like a moral standpoint, because I think it's very important to consider morals and ethics while you're working with technology. Because I think...
Absolutely.
Yep.
Because we haven't done that, some things have gone wrong. But anyways, we move on.
that's another conversation.
That's a whole other podcast.
Are you trying to give a shout out right now? Is there someone you'd like to give a shout out to, Victoria?
Shout out to Mike. Mike.
It's not time for the panel.
It's not another name that starts with M.
Definitely not.
Obviously not. Anyway. Yeah, so one of the things that I think a lot about is that as much as I want like our space, our like, so let's say Kit Fox's Discord to be like a very kind, warm, and cozy place, I think it does a huge disservice to also ignore the fact that real world things are going on. I think it's okay to have an escape. And for that, like, I have channels, like, let's say within the Kit Fox Discord, which is like just for cute things, just for like food, like something just to get your mind off of it. Mm-hmm. But for things like the pandemic, where it's like there could be important information, or, you know, people are worried and they need to be able to talk about it safely somewhere, without obviously going overboard into like almost like, you know, needing an actual therapist, in which case that's a whole other line. The real world happens.
Yes.
Yes. And you need to be able to talk about it with people, because ignoring it does a disservice to people who aren't in such a privileged position as us to be able to, you know, just sit at home, still get paid, talk on, you know, do whatever. And there's, you know, actual people working and out there, and we need to be able to bring awareness to that and not, you know, shut our eyes to it, basically.
Like, even the Animal Crossing community, because are you part of the big industry Animal Crossing meetup? All right. So there's a COVID-19
there
channel
is.
In there for people who need to go in and talk about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, I haven't stepped foot in there yet. That's not why I'm part of that group. I'm there to find out who has the coconuts and the mangoes and the peaches that I need. Because I have cherries and Manda has apples. And what did you say you had?
I have peaches.
You have peaches. So, like, get at us if you need the fruits.
What we're saying is, add us on Switch.
We'll put our Switch codes in the show notes.
We are not putting our Switch codes.
Putting our Switch codes in the show notes. You can send us. You can hit us up individually on the Twitters. but please, we require coconuts and mangoes
and oranges
and bananas and oranges.
You can get the coconuts yourself.
You can get the coconuts yourself.
Yes, you can.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that later. Okay. This is so not the Animal Crossing podcast.
We've now morphed this into the Animal Crossing podcast. I'm very sorry to everybody who came here looking for anything else.
Yes.
Technically, I already warned them we wouldn't get to any questions.
It's true. We're off the hook.
Yes, we're off the hook. Like,
she managed our community for us, so I feel like we should pay her.
So, I guess I want to focus on what you're doing specifically right now. You talked a little bit about it. What are some of the tips that you have for other community managers out there who are struggling? What are the things that you have found that have worked for you? What are the positive things that you're seeing come out of communities? I want to talk about the positive aspect.
I love that.
Okay, so I guess first is like the advice. And I assume this is advice for dealing... Is this advice for dealing with mental stress?
This is in general. Like right now is a period of mental stress, but it is not the only one that communities will go through. Like, whether that's individuals or groups of people or the entire world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when dealing with things that are coming and flying at you, and it feels like it's like a never ending cycle of updates, whether that's like bug reports or whatever, and hopefully you're working with a manager who understands the stresses of community management, because that's a whole other problem. A manager's not, you know, taking it seriously, but just taking like 5 minutes, like, when you feel like you're at a point where every time you read something, it makes me like physically clench my muscles. Like, I get really angry or I get really annoyed. I'm like, okay, I'm not, whenever you feel like you're not in a calm emotional state to be dealing with things, don't deal with it. That's when like regret comes up. That's when something, you tweet something and you regret it.
Good life advice, really.
Truly. Just like stand up, get out, and just walk away. Just go to a separate room, sit on a floor, whatever you need to do to just not look at the screen. And it'll feel like you can't do that, because, you know, when things are on fire, it feels like if you step away for like 5 minutes, everything is going to burn down completely. And I can assure you it will not. They can wait 5 minutes for you to figure out yourself. So that's kind of like the first, like, basic, like, this is how you deal with it. But in a, like, a long-term thing, it is very important to think about your personal boundaries when it comes to work, because a lot of community managers feel like they can never turn social media because, you know, it feels like a constant thing. Mm-hmm. And again, this also falls onto management to understand that, hey, if you hire a community manager from 9 to 5, you should only be getting them from 9 to 5 unless you figure out something else. But getting that separation away from what work and what personal life is obviously very important. But like with all of that being said, I've seen the best part about community management is that while you're at the front line for all, you know, the angry stuff and all the knowing things that can come out of managing a community, you're also at the front line for when people are praising you, when they're praising the game, whether they're praising the studio or you as a person. I've seen people form connections and it makes me super happy because, like, I can see them being kind to each other. Like, even during, you know, the COVID-19 stuff, like, you see all these organizations and all these game studios putting their games out for free, or the fact that Razer is now manufacturing masks.
That's incredible.
Healthcare, right? Like, it's one of those things where you start to see what a company or a studio or, like, just collective human kindness can do for people. Like, obviously there's some people that do the opposite, and then you see the companies that are doing the other thing, and you're like, okay, like, it gives you just, like, that little bit of hope that that's what we can all do together, because the strength of, like, humanity, let's say, is the fact that we've all worked together to create things, and, like, everything we have right now is because people have worked together to build something. And I see that within community management in general.
That has got to be the most wholesome, lovely thing that we've ever heard on this podcast. I know this podcast is brand new, but that was really wholesome. I love that.
I do want to take a minute and talk about this GameStop thing for just a second, because it's come up, I think, now 3 days in a row.
3 days in a row, yeah.
And yesterday we were starting to hear the rumors that they were telling store managers to defy law enforcement, and now we've got California in a lockdown, we've got New York in a non-essential lockdown.
Which will likely head our way.
Yes.
Very soon.
We're here in New Jersey. So, you know, I mean, obviously this is a community management thing. What happens if you're a community manager and you are now put in the line of fire because of a decision that is way above your pay grade and one that you may not agree with? What happens in that situation? How do you keep going and kind of keep your own mental health in check when you are in a position where you have to take it on the chin for something that is completely out of your hands?
See, that's the difficult part. That's when management is doing something you don't want to agree with, or that now you're the one taking all the crap for.
Oh, for sure.
So I've... two different pieces of advice. One is from a privileged place of, like, God, I want you to quit. I just want you to quit so badly. It's not worth it. It's not worth whatever they're paying you. But we are in a time where, you know, it is, you probably need money. So I can't necessarily say that. But in my heart of hearts, I'm like, just leave.
Save yourself.
Save yourself. But let's say that's not possible, which is fair. You have bills to pay. The second one is, God, okay, so this is going to sound not great, but there's people who work on autopilot. And at one point, this is why I want you to quit, because you're going to burn out. No matter what I say, no matter what advice I give, this person is going to burn out if they have to deal with terrible decisions, and they're probably going to leave the industry or something. But basically, it's, again, having that separation between work and personal life, and more importantly, having friends or family, just connections that aren't involved in games at all. It's so important to have your whole life not revolve around video games.
We're failing miserably at that. Uh-oh.
That reminds me, I need to do some marching band stuff.
Whoops. But, you know, it's like when things are going crap, let's say, at work and, like, in games, to have another outlet in which you don't define yourself, right? Because a lot of people define themselves by their work or by their hobbies. And when those two things are fused together, that's going to burn you out a lot. So having something else to take your mind off of it. So, like, after work, like, it's been a super stressful day at work, you get to treat yourself to, I don't know, what is another hobby people have?
Eating ice cream these days.
Eating ice cream.
Wow.
Eating ice cream, treating yourself to something.
Watching a Disney movie.
Watching a Disney movie, reading manga, like...
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say, like, going out and... Or you can't go out. I can't go out. I haven't left the house. But, you know, ordering your, in my case, like, your favorite lipstick. you know? Yeah, because, I mean, I love makeup. I make no apologies for that. Or, yeah, so, like, it's so true and it's so important, and it's something I've talked to some of the younger game journalists that I've worked with over the years. It's like, look, don't make... Always stretch yourself and put yourself outside of the game industry as much as you can to soak up the rest of the world and to remove yourself from what feels like a really insulated world. Like, I mean, it can take everything over if you mm-hmm. let it.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's especially because the games industry loves Twitter. It does feel like that constant stream of like mm-hmm. conscious.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Other outlet outside of games is just the perfect way. Like, bake something. God, just get away from a screen.
Yeah. I do enjoy baking. I am going to do a lot of baking this weekend. Lots of baking.
Definitely.
Stress baking.
Well, excellent. So each episode, we try, and we have been successful so far, to spotlight an indie developer who is doing something cool. And we have... let me check my notes here. Victoria Tran from Kid Fox Games to talk about the games that Kid Fox Games is making.
That's really exciting.
Victoria, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, we've already done that.
Yeah, we've already done that part. Victoria, so tell us a little bit about what Kid Fox is working on right now.
Yeah, so Kid Fox is, as you may have heard, working on 4 different things. We are currently developing 2 games. One is Boyfriend Dungeon, which is our dating simulator dungeon crawler mashup where you romance your swords. They become beautiful people.
It's so good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited for it.
We are too.
And then the other game we're developing is called Lucifer Within Us. And that's like a completely different thing where it's basically a mystery game where you play a digital exorcist who gets this unique timeline ability. And you basically, every time a suspect tells you their alibi, it comes up on a timeline, sort of like a video scrubber. Or a video editor, and then you get to go back and forth to see like where the lies are and replays everything in real time. It's very exciting.
Oh, that's so cool.
Thank you. And then we're publishing 2 games. One is Mondo Museum, which is a museum building simulator game. You get to manage a museum. I'm very excited for that. And of course we have Dwarf Fortress, which is how do you describe Dwarf Fortress?
It's I don't even know if you can.
Right? It's an intricate simulation game and it's been going on for 16 years and we're publishing it on Steam with graphics.
That's Ooh. Awesome.
Actual That's so graphics?
Cool. I know.
That's the bar exciting.
It's great.
It's all right. Same thing for this show.
Wow.
Dang.
Holy dip. Okay, you're banned. Okay, so with GDC and E3 cancellations impacting pretty much everything and everyone in the industry, you know, how has that impacted Kit Fox specifically?
Yeah, so it's actually been wild because, so Kit Fox usually does a lot of events. So we've done all the, like, PAX East, PAX South, PAX West, GDC, E3, and those places are really important because that's a lot of where we do business deals, where we meet press, where we meet fans, and where we meet other developers, right? And it's like, that's where we're like, oh, the friends and all that stuff. And all of that is super important to, especially I think, an indie studio surviving, because having those face-to-face meetings with developer partners and business partners and all of that creates like this kind of connection that you can't get as well online.
Mm-hmm.
So not having those is very strange. So it's definitely shifted our strategy a bit to figuring out, okay, how do we now market our games, or how do we get these press contacts without being able to just email them and be like, hey, do you want to grab a coffee on Tuesday or whatever?
Yeah, I would imagine that like that's the thing that we've been hearing a lot of in terms of, you know, especially for indie studios, is those chance in-person meetings are everything. Mm-hmm. They're everything for business. They're everything mm-hmm. for networking. It's the same kind of thing for when, you know, developers, studios, publishers are meeting up with press. It isn't just about those scheduled appointments. You know, there's also those chance encounters in the hallway where you're just like, oh, I didn't even know that you were here. Come see our game, or mm-hmm. come hang out and check out what the studio's up to, or let's have a conversation, and it spins into a bigger story later on. I don't know how many times mm-hmm. I have had that happen at an E3. So yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. So what are the things that Kit Fox needs right now? Because it's a question we've been asking a lot of developers, because a lot of times those needs are addressed in some way, shape, or form, if not directly at a GDC or an E3, then as a result of.
I feel like that's so difficult because an indie studio needs many things. Money, time.
Well, we are not Time Lords. We cannot give that to you.
And my bank account says that I cannot.
Then why am I here?
Why am I here? So we can talk about Animal Crossing.
That's
the easy answer.
Of course. So, like, what does Kit Fox need in terms of, like...
And what is your biggest need right now in order to get through? And it could just be like, hey, we just need the world to get back to normal.
Honestly, I think that's what we need.
That's fair.
In like actual business, like, I want events back. Like, well, okay, I mean, I was kind of tired of traveling, so but, like, you know, I want the choice, the ability, I guess, to have things go back to normal, in terms of that, because, you know, obviously so much marketing and work is done behind that, and I'm also doing the events, so it's a big part of my job. And also, I want to see my deaf friends. This is partially, like, super selfish.
That's understandable. Also,
yeah, it's just, it's the fact that it's really hard to be productive right now. Like, to be as productive as you normally are, and not have this strange sense of guilt that making games while people are doing, like, actual healthcare things, it's weird. It's still important because I think people need this, but it is a weird cognitive dissonance, I think.
And I think that the industry in general is definitely feeling that. I think that anyone working either in entertainment or reporting on entertainment feels like everything is a little bit frivolous, but I think it's important to keep in perspective that by keeping those doors open and keeping those wheels turning, that we're giving... that you all are giving folks like us these little refuges, that these safe havens, these harbors of hope. Harbors of hope. That's nice. I'll make that video game.
That's cute.
That's nice. I'll write that story. Maybe someone will pick it up. I think that that's really important to keep in mind, is it all matters. Every little thing matters right now, especially every little human connection matters. And every piece of escapism, no matter how big or how small. So where can folks find Kit Fox online? Do you have some Steam pages where folks can go and wishlist the games?
Yes. So you can find all of our games on Steam, wishlist them there, Boyfriend Dungeon, Lucifer Within Us, Dwarf Fortress, Munder Museum. You can also find us on Twitter, twitter.com/KitFoxGames, and also discord.gg/KitFoxGames.
Amazing.
Excellent.
We would love to, you know, continue to have the indie spotlight going into next week. We want to talk to you. We want you to tell us about your games. So if you have an indie game, or you have recently released an indie game and you're looking to get more eyeballs on it, DM us. Our DMs are open at Virtual EconCast. You can also send us an email at podcast@fsquared.biz.
And we have some guests lined up for next week.
We absolutely do.
We are kicking off the week with Scott Hartzman, who is the former CEO of Trion Worlds. We're going to be talking to Scott about what it's like to run a live service game and how this situation is likely creating some complications for any company that's running a live service game. We also have Walt Williams, who is the narrative designer on Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Spec Ops The Line. We're going to be talking about Some of the ways that the current situation might influence, might have some ripple effects into the kinds of stories that game studios want to tell moving forward.
I'm so excited. That's going to be such a cool conversation.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that too. And we also have Emily Rose from Rebind.io to talk to us about how art house indies are faring in general, but also given the current situation, things that we as people in the industry, as game players, can do to support art house indies and make sure those neat creative stories get to stay surfaced and get told and get shared amongst whether that's the press or other people in the industry.
That's awesome. We have quite the lineup that next week. We still have a couple more people that we are waiting on yeses or noes from.
There's one meme lord we're trying to line up, but
The meme lord.
Let's be real. There's a time difference issue that we need to line up.
The 17-hour time difference with that meme lord. Victoria, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been such a wonderful conversation. You're so full of sunshine.
Aw, thank you. It was so nice.
Absolutely. I hope that we can get you back on maybe post-pandemic.
Yes, hopefully.
That would be great. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Virtual Economy Podcast. This has been episode 4. You can follow us on Twitter at Virtual Econcast. I'm at Amanda Farrow.
And I am at Footerish, FUTTERISH. Victoria, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at TheVTran, TheVTran.
Excellent. And you can subscribe to the Virtual Economy Podcast at virtualeconomy.libsyn.com/RSS. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. That's brand new. We just got approved for Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. On one of those platforms that allows you to review the show, please review the show if you have nice things to say about us.
The most important thing that you can do is make sure that you subscribe. Subscriptions tell the various platforms that we are doing well and we are worth promoting internally. So let's tip off those algorithms, friends.
Yay, algorithms.
Algorithms are fun. You can DM us with questions at Virtual Econcast, or you can send them to podcast@fsquared.biz.
Woo! We got through one whole week.
That was amazing.
It was.
Even though we have our zeroth
is, I think,
our array zero podcast from Monday and all the way to today, but we will be back on Monday.
Yes.
And in the meantime, wash your hands, stay hydrated, and be good to one another.